And the beginning of the business session with Rick and Debbie this Thursday morning, 8th of March, 73, Channel 2 Right. And beginning of the business session with Rick and Debbie this Thursday morning, 8th of March, 73, Channel 2 Right. And the beginning of the business session with Rick and Debbie this Thursday morning, 8th of March, 73, Channel 2 Right. And beginning of the visit with Rick and Debbie, the business session this Thursday morning, the 8th of March, 73. Let's have a little replay of what happened. What night was it you got back? Monday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday night, yes. Tuesday night. Let's have a little replay. I picked up the cue from Faye. She said you're glad to be back. Where you go, they can't talk. And another statement, she just passed on to me. They aren't physical. So I gave you those cues to cut through whatever you had to say and put it in a little different light. But you took your own cue. Go ahead, mm-hmm. Let's see how you take your own cue.
Well, I was use that business about not being able to talk like the way we talk here with Doug's music. I wanted to.
Well, let's start with Candy. Doug's out of the picture. You don't give anything on him.
I talked about the jungle trip that we took, the boat ride. We went to Wakulla Springs to see the wildlife sanctuary, and I just compared it to the times that Candy and I used to take boat trips in Greece together. And I could never quite put my finger on what it was about those trips until I saw her in action on this trip. We had old tickets.
This was the old Candy.
So this is the old Candy, yeah. It hasn't changed very much.
Well, you see, after it's over now, I can get my cues and go along with you. That's all I tried to do the other night, was to go along with you, but I didn't. Give us a little of it.
Well, they had gotten tickets, I guess about a month before, and hadn't used them. So Candy thought we could just use those tickets. And so she took them, but she also took along some money in case they wouldn't.
Now, you make a lot of tickets. It looks to me like that's beside the point. It looks like it's the other part that's the old Candy. Will this work too, the tickets?
Well, it's just the idea that she sort of manipulates around, and even with the tickets, she does. She tells it so that you're sure that she's not doing anything that's really illegal or dishonest, because she says, well, you know, we've really supported Wakulla Springs for the past 2 months. We've spent $30 there taking people on the rides. They owe us a free ride.
No, I don't care that over into the old Candy, you see. You see, I got lost. and I don't see this point.
Well, the old Candy, I guess, is trying to get on the boat and getting the two front seats.
Yeah.
She says to me, "We've got to get the two front seats because otherwise you can't. We have to sit in the front of the boat, or you can't see anything."
Well, I say, you just went into the tickets as part of that getting on the front seats.
Yes, just getting on the boat. That's all.
But it's really got nothing to do with getting the front seats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got stuck.
I see.
Well, I didn't see. You see. But a lot of times you see and I don't. Well, the nice part of it was going down the river. That was a very nice part. Still a lot of just for our pleasure.
She talked louder than the guide. We were on the boat for 5 minutes, and Candy'd been on the ride so much that she started telling everybody on the boat what all the birds were, and the guide just didn't have a chance. He was... we met some friend of hers from the capital who was going... They have a glass-bottom boat that goes around the springs, and you look down into the springs, and then they have this jungle ride, so there's two boat rides you can take. And these friends were saying, "Well, you really should take the glass bottom boat ride because it's a very Ed Ballish sort of thing. They get these black men to run the boats and they sing, and this is supposed to be, you know, take you back to the old Florida." And so the men sing at the back of the boat. Well, this black man who was running our boat was sort of Ed Ballish too. He would say things like, "This is the such and such a bird. He catch fish for his living," and you know he had a whole patter worked out about the birds, and Candy never gave him a chance.
Yeah.
She talked louder than he did the
but
whole
he
time.
He didn't care.
He didn't care. He was probably glad not to have to talk for one ride. But
yeah.
she'd point out. She'd say, "Now what's that bird over there?" She'd say, and he'd stop and say what it was, you know. But she'd go on and on. Her voice really carries. And she talks faster than anyone I've ever known. She speaks very rapidly, but she's the only person I've known who speaks that rapidly and you can understand them.
Yeah.
You understand every word she says, but she talks like blah, 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 just like that.
Yeah.
Really fast.
Yeah.
Especially
is
when she's excited.
Is that a... Not everybody can do that, or is that something you just sort of work into?
I don't think everybody can do that, because when most people speak rapidly, they run the words together. Candy speaks rapidly, naturally. That's the way she talks. Fast. That's the way she does everything, fast.
She doesn't have to deliberate.
She always knows right away what what her answer is.
Well, what she needs is she can't do it by herself, what she needs is a running mate. Huh?
Here I am.
Right, like Marvin and Mrs. Guthrie.
Mm-hmm. I've been Candy's running mate since we were in about the seventh grade. That's a long time.
You see, Marvin, Mrs. Guthrie never finishes anything. She just... Got Marvin there. He'll back her up. Go on. But you don't have to do that.
Well, I usually... No, Candy's a little more complete than Miss Mary in things that she does. She's a little more... Well, like she said, you stand at that gangplank and I'll stand at this gangplank. And wherever the boat comes, we'll be in the right spot to get the two front seats.
Yeah.
So, that was, she doesn't, Marvin would have been a little more in on it with Miss Mary, I think. He might have suggested that he'd go to the other gangplank, because Miss Mary might have said, "Well, we better get on first." But, see, Candy has it a little more planned out. She carries it a little further.
Well, these things she does, they're never matters of any consequence. Just boat rides, did you have that's the experience you've had with it?
Well,
that's largely what you were doing. You were just traveling.
Mm-hmm. In Greece.
And that's all there was.
something like a boat ride.
A boat ride, going places, going up to find her grandparents' house, and traveling, moving. Maybe she's got to be moving to have her things work out.
So you've never actually been her sidekick to get things done?
To get places, but not to get that.
All this business is in governor's office. She does that by herself.
Yes.
See, I'm short-faced,
yeah.
I'm just probing. I'm just pushing. Is all. I've got no notions about it.
Well, I had the notion from just a little bit that you said out there that maybe you could sort of be a little more objective and look at Canada this time.
Detached is the word I used.
I mean, could you look at her a little bit more than you did at Greece?
Detached means that you go right along with them, you see, but you're not wrapped up in it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're part of it. It's my sense of feeling. I don't go in for the objective. That means stand apart. In any use I've ever seen it made of, it is made of. And I don't stand apart.
But you almost have to be detached to see your friends or anybody, don't you think?
Yeah, you do.
The statement you made about Candy, I think it would work, was that you said she doesn't take any crap off anybody.
That's right.
And she's short. And you think, well, nobody pay attention to her. But she comes out kind of, not ferocious, but I wouldn't want to tangle with her.
Can't push her around?
No.
And I mean, she didn't just step into that governor's job.
No, she started out as a temporary typist on the task committee, reapportionment, I guess it was. And about 2 weeks later, she was writing the bill. And it started out, I remember the first letter I got from her, when she was working in this job, she said, she wrote to me and she said, I just don't think I can stand it. She said, all I'm doing is typing bills. And what they do is they walk into the office and they look at me and they say, girl, fix the coffee. Candy didn't want to take that from anybody. So then after a while, she was writing the bill for them. And then she worked on the reapportionment committee until the bill went through. And then they hired her on the governor's staff. And now she's writing this consumer affairs thing, report.
So what you
and
need?
Got the grant in 3 days. 4 days, something like that. Quarter million.
What you need is to have a week over there with her, where you could pick up some of the points about the getting the grant and about the bulletin they're writing.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd learn something from it.
If I go to work with her something for a day.
What?
If I went to work with her for a day, something like that.
Yeah. Well, why did you have to go on that Wakulla ride?
Because it was a nice day and we wanted to get out. I wanted to get out, then get outdoors, not stay in the house.
You want to be physical?
Yeah.
Sitting there in the seat watching the duck. Don't let me get to have the last word.
It was more physical than sitting in the house. At least we were sitting on the boat, going somewhere. We walked around Wakulla Springs. So. Out there and back.
But with Candy, it's sort of fun to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere.
Anywhere at all. It's fun. It's fun to go someplace where she's excited about it. She's very excited about Wakulla Springs. And to watch her be that excited and sort of take over like she did from the guide,
mm-hmm,
is fun. I mean,
well, does she go around and talk to the guide a little? afterwards or before? No.
She's just been on the ride 25 times, so she knows how she knows everything he's going to say about all the birds.
But she's not interested in the people. She doesn't use the ride to make contact with anybody.
Not with the guide, no. But she made contact with that family that was sitting around us.
Well, that was useless because you'll never see them again. That's what Wade does. He goes over and has a beer with people he'll never see again. And just wastes his time. One of them is a bricklayer. He got so much money, he buys all these philosophies for his children. And the wheel ran off of one. He didn't want to fool with it, so he just went and got a new philosophy. I don't know what philosophy is. It's some
little toys and stuff, yeah.
This wasn't a toy. It cost $50 or so. It's the impression I got. You heard it. You heard
it. It was a truck of some kind. I guess you could sit on and push.
Yeah.
It's a good-sized toy.
Yeah. So, what we could do is watch you survive over there, as you were just easy going, as you talked about. But, you see, you weren't physical. She didn't make contact with anyone. And your sidekick to just a little teenage, you're still in Greece.
She does make contact with people, though. I mean, for example, when she worked in Boston.
But she didn't with you when you were there. You didn't. You had a bad influence on her. I'm thinking about you.
Yeah.
In Boston. I'm confused as to where you are.
I'm thinking about you this last weekend, after all your conditioning out here. You're still sort of helpless when it comes to fending for yourself, like Miss Mary and the Sears men. They give her that $2,000 roof. Really not worth putting on. And I think she can do by it. She got no defenses. It's one of the saddest things I've ever seen. Suzanne documented it. She makes no comments. But you can see it. This place up here. Be a vacant lot up there. In the whole Gainesville area.
Mm-mm.
I've been doing that now for no telling how many years.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize it. No one does. I wouldn't either. It's not such a rapid change, it's such a radical change, you see, where they won't even know where their friends live. Almost like displaced persons. You go back in a year and you don't recognize the place, and it's that way again and again and again.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere.
And you can't, you see, that's a note I wrote to Florence. She telephoned me out here and she says they attacked me. Well, I know what she means. She's pretty good natured and every now and then, you see, we make it hard on her. For no reason. And when I first started, I never thought it bothered her. Said she liked to do a few things. She liked to do some things, some different things. Now in college, she danced on her toes. So they were putting on a dance. I didn't. cats. And her dress was so abbreviated, her children liked it, but the adults were a little bit doubtful about it, she said. Now, she said, I don't know, you see, things like that, I have to write them out to get them straight. And she just talks over the telephone. I don't get the connection. I don't know what she means. They attack her, so she gets to be a rocket, so she can tell them to go to hell. That's all I got out of it. Well, I didn't bring that up, you know, not just strictly, like in those terroir terms, but I said, I didn't think that was it that made people do all these things and made them nervous. I thought it was this radical change this fellow talks about in the future shock. And the odd thing is we read about it, but we're not conscious of what it does to us. And in my view, the first I really realized what was going on was that little piece of Suzanne on Miss Mary and the Sears men. And since then, I've just, it sort of obsesses, it's sort of an obsession. It's in my mind all the time. And it's something you can't get out, you can't stop those bulldozers and steam shovels up there. Nothing you can do. Law, environmental stuff you can do. Nothing will stop it. There's nothing will even slow it down, you see.
Remember how you felt about the trailers when you came back from town from that area?
Mm-hmm. They're over there with Miss Bessie. All that going along, everything was quiet right where she was. She was just a little world of her own there. They said a little bigger yesterday. Eyes were bright, she could talk. And she stood up, sat up straight with that queenly weight she had. And she said, Mr. Miles, there's just no way of knowing what's going to happen to you tomorrow. I can't recapture her words. I knew what she said, but we didn't put it into bare words. Now that's mortality. But I'm not thinking of the mortality of it so much. She still had a little poise. I was in talking to Ward, I was just afraid to say anything. You see, everybody goes about their business, they're quiet at those desks and all. But you can't go across the street. Gotta dodge the traffic. It's a feverish sort of world that you live in. And there's no escaping it, you see. You can get a condominium and you see you can't stay in it, you've still gotta get out of it. Some of them are sporting about it. They play it, you see. They know what's going on and they'll take advantage of all these things. I don't think they can win. So, even out here, you see, we get derailed. And I've pared away everything, all the obstructions, I've just pared away little by little. Except for the fool cow. And it's a fierce world. the consumers can't win. Somebody's going to have to pay them. Well, you've got such big interest now. They can just go over the consumer protection people and take all the sting out. They don't like what they say. That's how big it is. No. You can kind of, all I can do is sort of temporarily neutralize it. Out here, they can take me in tomorrow. You see, the county road department can run right through here. Not a thing I can do. Nothing. They've got it worked out. They've got their lawyers. They can wait me out. I can't wait them out. They can treat me just like the water people did Mr. Nealon. I got not one chance. I don't think you can hit it directly. And now you don't know what to hit. You start to write the congressman, you don't know what to write him about. You start to write him about one thing, before you get the letter written, you got six more. And he ain't it, isn't that anyhow? I got this last thing from him, and all he talked about was the new committee assignments he had. I don't know what it is. I don't know, it's a remarkable thing. Nobody bothers anybody, you see. I mean, the promoters or whoever it is, they don't come out and try to harm you or hinder you or upset you as long as you let them go through your property. Put up a service station right next door, whatever it is. Now, I don't think there's much choice. I mean, I don't think you, I think you got to take the heat off before you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Now you work out here during the week, and then on the weekend you can go over with Candy or with Marsha or with somebody at some place where you can kind of see what's going on and sort of take hold best you can. But then you have to come back here, and what's been clear, perfectly clear to me for some time. I didn't know it. I didn't think it was just forced on you. I used to think I'd give them a little taste of Emerson, and they were just like a ticket, like a visa. They could go in any kind they wanted to. Well, it never did work that way. But you see, they don't have the, well, now look at Faye. Look at Faye. She's as persistent as anyone I ever saw. And she's had all sorts of breaks, too. Good fortune. By and large, she's lived in a little bit of a matchbox. Now, I don't mean to just talk all morning. I just got started on this. But this is what's waiting for everybody. She put up a lot of things, you see. She didn't want to. Too much help, you know, do it herself. her letters, at least I don't see them. I saw Faye had one. And what it was, a little paragraph written January 24th, another little paragraph written January 30th, a little paragraph written February 10th. Now that's going to her typewriter now that she sends to the family. She'll Xerox them and send them to the family. That's all she does. I stick Suzanne on her and her on Suzanne. But you see, it doesn't work. So it's a waste of time unless somehow you're gonna take the world seriously. The largest part of it is just surviving.
That's
surviving.
What I
see. You see, you've got all these private problems. You see, they'll push on you that you're not married. They'll push on Rick, you see, that he's losing money. Well, after you get married, they'll press you to have six children, and then they'll say, why in the hell are you still on this old job? Can't you get ahead a little bit? There's always something pressing your pride, something. Always something, you see, to take you out of circulation. Now, that's what I learned now you say, where did I learn that? I learned that from Margaret Mead. That's in her anthropology. That's the anthropology that she's writing. And that's where I got it. That's where I first got it.
Well, all you have to do is examine. Look at your life or your friend's life and know that that's true. You have to find some defense, or else you'll be taken over.
I don't think it's a curious thing. You see, and I didn't write the book, but families don't help you much. They can help you in some things, but not in others. Now, if they get sick, Fanny can fly out there, you see, and see to it that the doctors don't kill her. But she can't clear her day so she can type. And it's absolutely a limit to what the family can do, Faye.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't depend on your family for...
Well, that's what Katie said to me when Debbie was first thinking about coming out here. You know, she says, well, and other people have too. The family can do just so much, and then somebody outside the family has to make, you know, the way. And she was just saying, you know, how pleased she was.
Well,
I
told your mama, I sent word to her. I said, I'll work with your child if you will do that stuff down there. I can't do that.
Exactly.
I mean, even if I tried, I couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can work with your child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a, really not a personal thing.
Rick's mother said the same thing. One time I saw, she said, we can just stand by.
Yeah. Well, it's a sad world, and you have to recognize it, but act as if you're not. Not let everybody know what you think. You see, Mr. Nealon, that's underneath, I gather, all the time. All of his whole. The whole jig's up. There won't be any trees. But he can't announce that. He's got to go ahead the best he can. Cannon acted good for us.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and when he came to Florida, it was like the county, you see, there was trees. They could be prodigal with them. He dug them up by the roots. So it was a lot of stumps. Made a clearing.
So actually,
is that somebody, or is that Donnie?
Yeah, somebody.
Go ahead and see who it
is. He sneaked by. Didn't see him come up.
I didn't hear him through this horn or ring the bell.
So actually, as I see it, through the time that God's been working, this inquiry is almost to fend for yourself, to see and not be kidded.
Well,
and it hopefully will help.
This little thing out here, you see, where you can see, you can actually see a human being,
mm-hmm.
and make contact with them. And you can't do that. You can't do that. Done. Now you see, the danger the I run is Debbie transfers all that to her friends and her family, and I don't have anybody in mind. You see, I'm talking about the world the way it is now. It's just next to impossible to make contact with anybody. It's all a sort of Freudian basis. And if you can and you don't get it from the literature.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll read the literature in the same light. So while you get a chance, you want to see them in the right light. Now you see, I work with my friends out of here, I make them available. We can look at them in any light. But they're my friends. They're the best friends I have. But I still look at them. I wish they were just kind of far enough along that they could see what we see, but you see, can't do that. You see, Charlotte couldn't listen to herself,
mm-hmm.
relating that incident about the. Yeah, and I don't know who I am, as he said, that was listening, and I don't know who I am. I know it's gone too far. Yeah.
The thing that always that shouldn't make you feel bad, you know, disturb your sleep at night or anything like that, but it should make you feel a little protection, almost. That this sort of way of looking is what Rick was saying the other day, as he talked to Dick Green going across the campus. It has to have some serious meaning,
mm-hmm.
or else y'all wouldn't be doing it. And what you're going to do with Mr. Newland, what you've done on Mr. Newland, or what you're going to do with what you've done on Virgil, if it never gets published, it's you're looking at it and you're seeing a human being, and it has to have some meaning for you, or else you know you're doing it.
Well, I'd like to just sign off now, my part of it. But you see, that is the first person who's ever come out here who has put her friends on the table and let us look at them.
That's right.
I've always had to supply them.
Uh-huh.
Every one of them, you see.
Uh-huh.
Rick had got so he did that too a little bit. His partner, maybe me. But I think she's
uh-huh.
superior.
Uh-huh.
But what it does, you're not trying to criticize people. You're just trying to see them where you can see when you go over and see Candy, you can make it, make more out of it.
Guy said if Candy came down here, we just all cut loose and just follow Candy. Let her call the police. But if you could see her work, you see.
If I had anybody like Candy on this thing, I'd just keep her going. I just keep in touch with her all the time, Faye.
I'd be.
And I wouldn't do it about her. Can she write a letter?
She calls on the telephone.
I know that.
She doesn't write letters.
She won't write a letter?
Not as long as there's a telephone around and a free one at that.
Well, when she telephones, you put it down. And then ride her back. I'd keep in touch with that child. You see, she's a stake in the future, or some such term.
I'd go to work with her, but I do.
Yeah. But now look at the household. That's a nightmare.
The dog.
And the friends.
And the friends. Those, well. They can't help it. I mean, the people with the baby can't right now.
Well, you see, they seem defensive. But you got to get around that. You got to sidestep that. Now that's what threw her off Tuesday night. She hasn't reacted to me when I'm tired in a long time. I mean, I can say anything to her. She don't particularly bother about that.
No. She's right thoughtful about not disturbing you when she thinks you're resting, but she doesn't react.
Well, I don't know when
tired.
I'm resting.
No, everybody's got over that. We don't react to you when you're tired.
Well, it just takes so much energy to be civil. And you don't get anywhere with it.
Guy said the other morning, he said, "Now I don't feel a bit civil today. Would you just overlook me if I'm not civil?"
Well, they can, Debbie, Rick's always civil, Debbie is too. They can be civil, but you see, they're not canned the ball. I'm canned the ball out here.
Well, it's good to cuss a little bit every once in a while, isn't it, Rick? You cut
a
little
bit. I do.
Debbie.
Well, let me tell you. Well, you see, I'd like to turn it over. I'd like to hear Debbie talk a little bit. Just, I don't know what to say. But she checks in with me all through the day, and that's proper. I mean, that helps me. I can tell what she's doing. I got so I can tell what Rick's doing. And he did nice on that wilderness thing out there, but it took him so long. It's just not worth that. And the chief thing, he finally had to sweat it out. I don't know why it takes so long for his mind to work. He had to leave out all of that Mr. Nealon's political side.
That was that's nice because, he says at the end so well, I think. I thought the statements that he made at the end of that piece were very good, that if you put in the political struggle, you don't see the struggle of the trees, which is what Mr. Nealon sees when he looks at the forest, is the struggle the trees are having. I thought that was very perceptive.
Now, it could be, you see, he's got to the point where he can carry both in his mind. In his mind.
Uh-huh.
And one doesn't interfere with the other. And you get so you can do that. You can carry several. You can look at. You can, you know, just live in several worlds all at one time. And you shift. You see, Debbie's the best at shifting that I've ever seen.
Can you do that, Debbie? Live in several worlds?
Sure, I do right now. I live in lots of different worlds.
And on top of that, she can pick them up and go right along with them. But you can't if you let things push you. If you push, you can't. You can't do it under pressure.
Not as well, no.
You're not to let pressure get hold of you that much. Now, why couldn't you make a little more off that visit to Tallahassee? Over there, I'm talking about, not here.
Well, I think a lot of times the problem is when you don't. I hadn't seen Candy in about 6 months, longer than that.
I thought of that.
And it takes a while. You spend 24-48 hours just sort of catching up on things, you know, and you get back into the pattern that you have with people, you know, you sort of go through the same routines with different people, and if you haven't seen them for 9 months, it takes a while to get back into it. And I hadn't spent any time with Candy and Doug since last August, so I just
been
putting off.
The phone every day.
Well, that's not the same thing as being there in the house with them.
It looks to me like the worst thing in the world just to be in the house with them. With them.
Only if you sit down and have a lap. Otherwise, it's all right. If you have a lap, you've got dogs in it. If you don't have a lap, you're fine.
When you go back over there, you get a room next door. She won't pick that up.
That's a good idea, won't it, Debbie? You just have a room next door.
I sleep with the pianos. Doug's got two pianos, so
she's sitting down.
There?
They punch a button, she moves. We're just making statements.
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah, that's all you can do. Just what you did. You can't get it on your terms at all. It's all gonna be on Candace. And she hadn't had your little working over.
You can't take it to the marketplace with Candy. In other words. Or Candy.
Well.
I don't know what you mean by the marketplace. You can't make contact with Candy with the dog's hair.
Well, I sort of thought I was making contact. I was watching her through the way she looked at the dogs. I sort of thought I was making contact there.
Oh, I see.
That was your statement.
I was watching her report. On the dogs.
Yeah, she knew that. Yeah. But she never make mental contact with them. Monday.
Well, I guess not in the way that
See, she had mentioned Monday.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked all day, but it wasn't this kind of talk, you know.
It's sort of catching up talk.
It looks to me like she gave us the wrong thought. I could very well dispense with that low color thing and the dogs with just a statement. It looks to me like Monday is what was the subject. That's the closest she came to making contact with. Well, now you see, what are you going to do? I don't know what it is, Debbie, you know that. I've just learned to probe and listen a little bit. and you see, when you summarize it, it puts a sting in it. You don't want to do that. I mean, that's not the point of it.
Well, when friends talk, like probably Candy and Debbie talked, I can imagine. It was about your friends.
Yeah.
And about Doug's problems with getting a job and, you know, all sorts of things like that. And you probably listened because that was it.
Sure, it's natural people talk about. You know, the friends that talk about problems and things. It's Freudian talk, you know.
Well, business talk. Well, you see.
Debbie lets us see our friends.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not sure that she let us see
them. Well, I was trying to give a visible example. That's what I was trying to do.
She just took us on a boat ride. Ray, what are we gonna do now?
Well, what we have open is to see Vince Gabrielli.
Yeah.
Up at the museum.
Yeah.
Because he's a big grand man.
Yeah.
He's not an academic. He's not a scholar.
Yeah.
He's more of the business type.
What's Debbie going to do? She just going to stay out here and twiddle? She's the best at this, but she gets this little color thing out of her. She's still off the track, say. We gotta get her back on.
I'm sitting here with two folders in front of me. I'm trying to get on the track. I need to go see Miss Nealon because I need to take that scrapbook back to her.
You go see her and try him. You wanna go right this minute?
Mm-hmm. No, I.
Fred, you say you need to go see Miss Nealon just to take a scrapbook. You don't need to go to town just to take a scrapbook.
I need to talk to her if we want to do anything more with Miss Nealon.
Well, if you're going to take a scrapbook, you don't want to just pass up a chance to talk to her.
That's right.
Well, that's sort of what I was getting at, too. But I don't know how we want to use the material on Mrs. Nealon.
I haven't gone through. I haven't gone through just very little of that Mr. Nealon stuff. Rick has a much better hand than I have, so you'll have to bring that up with him. You do it now.
Well, you can.
I don't know what we have. You see.
Well, I'm thinking this. She, for Flagler County, she'd probably be better to work with. At least get the cues.
Yeah.
See, there was one article in the magazine scrapbook that he wrote. That it's not so much writing, but it just provides enough little background information. But there's some fine material in that Flagler County.
Oh, is there?
Like buying his Model T Ford
when
he only had $4.75, but happened to marry
a
woman who had the money to buy the car.
Yeah.
And the hogs, vaccinating the hogs. You see, that's why he was hired county agent.
He vaccinated the hogs for us.
Yeah. But there's a whole lot there that he hasn't touched. And I think if we can get the politics out of the way.
Oh, yes. Well, we know how to do that now.
Now, there's a whole Mr. Nealon we haven't touched.
Well, he didn't get on the politics Saturday, that last Saturday.
No. Now, that's rare, too. It's
we kept him away from it.
Yeah.
We kept him, at least we kept him on the other.
Mm-hmm. And with a starter like that, he comes in on a crummy morning with his car stuck. You'd never think you'd get anything.
Mm-hmm.
The whole tape is just, I just can't believe it. So. But, I kind of see Ms. Nealon more as someone to get the cues from.
Well, now, let me tell you. We're going to have to drop the Nealon. There's just not time enough, you see. We will get derailed here, you see, and I won't have anybody to work with. The chances are too great. I'll say something, come up with something sometime that you won't like, and you'll run off. And I have to run that risk constantly. the important thing is getting something in print, and Mr. Nealon is not the important thing to get in the print. The important thing is getting the print what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got it lined out. And now on the first part, I've got to put in this insight that I had in the fall of 68. And what I would like to do is put it in fairly pompous terms, you see. But I can't do that anymore. So I'm going to do it through Whitman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show that he had access to Emerson, and Emerson enabled him to do that.
Yeah.
And what he saw, no one actually ever knows. And we can use Canby.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll have the two of you, both of you good readers, excellent readers. Well, very good readers. I don't want to make it strong. And I can't make out anything that Canby says that's worth saying in the 1855 Leaves of Grass. Now, what that'll do, it'll enable you to come to grips with it. I made a statement. You've got Canby to go by,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to have to line it out for you and bring you up to where I am. I can't turn you loose on the books. It'd take you 10 years, you see, or longer, 20 years, 30 years, to get to Emerson up to where I am now. So you simply have to work on what I know and go from there. Where I don't know. And I can tell you where I quit. Now, and we got to get this grant. We got the grant. We got to keep that grant in the works and do this too.
Mm-hmm.
That means Mr. Nealon's got to go on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
But we may be able to use some Mr. Nealon in my few essays.
Yeah, I think it would work.
Now, the first one is, I want to say this insight that I had, and then think of it as an inquiry, and that an inquiry doesn't go in one direction, it has many prongs. And that's what I want to show. That's what I want to set down. It has so many prongs. They say, what do you want to do specifically? Well, in my case, there's nothing specific to do. It's you can't isolate one from another. You have to take it all along, a little, all along. So you see, the grant people adapt themselves, I don't know, to medical research or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know, you see, we're farther along in some ways than they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, in some ways, and see, they've never, the grand people have never pursued an inquiry, especially one like this. It wasn't sponsored research. This was only just tolerated. And what made them tolerate it was Miss Liza's voice. That was the thing that did it. Several people heard her voice. After that, they let me go. Now that's her voice.
That's right.
And the best electronics man is the one who heard that voice. He and heard Miss Daisy's. I didn't have Miss Lyons and Miss Daisy's to start with, you see.
But
so
in the beginning, the people who heard her voice were the ones, I mean, on the campus.
Now, so you see what I can do. I can do that. That's what I've done so much of. We've got the books here, and I can line it out and tell you where I am, and you can read along and catch up with me in a short time, and then we'll hit the hard part. It's the part I can't help. So I'll carry you along with me, you see. I can carry you along with me. And that's no trouble to me, you see. I can carry a class along with me, except now, you see, you've got these people in the class who don't want to come to class or read that book and still make it on a grade. Not me. Well, part of it's me. It's a protest movement. It has really landed them. It has really landed them. You talk about some feverish traffic is nothing compared to that state of mind of the student. Now here's the thing. You see, we are taking, we're doing several things at one time, and dividing our effort. Now, what I would want to do is, you see, some of these tapes don't have to, they'll last a long time. You don't have to handle that. Now, one thing I'd like to do, you see, and we could do it. And furthermore, we can, if we had Mr. Nealon, once we do him and get a little system of doing these things, we could turn these things out every 2 weeks and have something ready for the printer and not wait till you get the whole book filled. Just put it in a little at a time. All right? I'd like to get the mentality of a student. Now, I see with your friends and what access I have to people up there, we could do it. And it's something they don't know. You can't get it. One person can't do it. And it's all individual work up there. When they get together, they don't talk about students. Talk about library funds or committee assignments. That's like a congressman in his letter. Committees he's been assigned to. With his seniority, experience. What?
I don't know whether he is or not.
You mean you don't get any of the off talk at all about this thing?
I don't know about Don Seifert.
Well, he's one of the big supporters of the Barge Canal.
Oh, Seifert.
He always come
yeah.
in one way or another every now and then. You mean your family don't cuss? She's damned with a lure, with a intelligent
family.
You see, when Faye came up and when I came up at the supper table, we called it, we cussed. Just bring up anything, you see. And at dinner too. Dinner was noon. Papa would come home and have a budget of it, wouldn't he?
And he would have a budget of it.
And the children were exposed to it. And they got tired of it. See, at their age, they didn't want to hear it.
Well, before you get into too many, into the, this Whitman, this sound, I'd like to be in on all of that recently.
You got your cooking to do.
I'd like to know something about what Debbie, what you can tell Debbie about Virgil.
You mean from the thing then?
Mm-hmm.
All I did was put down the sequence so I could see the little light as it came along.
Oh, you wrote it down.
Oh yes,
mm-hmm.
It's down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't go into detail, but it's where you can find it, where it happened. Now you could be wrong, you see, but that's just information as good as I could get it.
Well, I see that as one of the most promising things for that you all have done.
It's one of the finest things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we
mm-hmm.
can't use it, but it's one of the finest things. And it's all on Debbie's personality. She's outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right flattering to her, I think. Because
mm-hmm.
there's no ill will or idea of imposing on anybody. You
mm-hmm.
see, Shirley wouldn't do that.
Only way it could ever be used would be to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get it, you've got
the
material.
I don't think that works. You have to know too much to get it.
Well, what I did yesterday was work the work through the tape when Miss Mayor. I mean, I sort of from reading what you've written down, I sort of thought that maybe it should be done in almost like chapters. Leave the first thing that I wrote like as the first chapter. Then I worked with yesterday with Miss Mary and Marvin coming over on Sunday, just with the tape, and that can sort of be the next chapter. Just not, I don't know if chapter is the right word, but just a series.
All your artistic guys. got it down well, first rate. The only thing wrong with it is that last part, and I think it's a little bit ahead of you. As far as I can see, you handle Molière as if he writes farce, where everybody's in on it except one person. That's a farce. But the mentality of the Enlightenment, you don't get that. So I wouldn't worry about it, because you can get it. I didn't have any books to work with. I don't know Molière. But it's not so formidable, you see, that you can't get it and handle it. But it'll hold up. You got everything down. I think that's a big thing. And then your view of yourself is not quite that night where you finally realize what was happening. But your farce won't do that. That won't do it. That puts it in a, oh, that takes all this sting out of it. You just take that as a personal thing. That here all this has been going, and look at me, you see. I missed it all. And I never saw anybody as taken down as she was. And it's a remarkable thing, you see, as she was, because she'd been living it.
Mm-hmm.
And the it takes a pretty considerable fortitude to look at yourself in those terms.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, but if you can, you see, that you've got enough down that it'll hold it. You can come back to it. But the great, biggest part of it, after you sort of get come to the next day, is you can see that it's that it's that it really all stems from condescension, you see, towards the countryside and your sort of schoolgirl view of Molière.
Miss Breedingham.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And what you want to do is That's what you do all the time. You're looking for keys to make them live, where you can see them, and they're not schoolgirls or schoolboys anymore. And see, you can't get into Emerson. You've got to use my reading of Emerson, because you see, I have caught myself up on that all this time. I've picked up my misreadings. I pick them up. I look for them. Violent misreadings. What he says about the institution, you see. You see, I practically rewrite the several. Put them into terms that you can understand, that you can use. The thing that Emerson hadn't got to and never did get to. For instance, he thinks that the educated scholar, that a part of it he has to, he can't be effeminate, you see, and just stand off and be excused from looking at the world. He has to be a part of it. He has to act. Action is the important part of a scholar. Well, that word doesn't mean anything anymore. And Emerson's handling of the idea isn't very much. I don't know what it is. I ought to be able that the scholar, you see, also has to have experience. And that's not a good bit of Emerson, because he didn't have. He pretty much, as far as I've ever seen,
this is one of the big things.
Now your little second, third, fourth, fifth rate figures, you see, you don't go to see them, you go, it's more of a family affair. Well, if it is, you ought to report on your family and not on what the place has. Out here than I was day before yesterday. Just because I was spraying my wrist on that damn nigger, that don't affect the price of anything. Now, Rick, you just keep on the track, you see, and not be real. If I say anything wrong, you can just keep pushing.
Well, we still have.
Gabriel. Yeah, but you don't know him.
No, that's why Sam called and made the appointment for me.
Oh, you got an appointment with him.
Said anytime Thursday or Friday. And I thought it was outstanding for Gowan to do that.
What's that?
I thought it was outstanding for Gowan to do that.
Yeah.
You know, he knows Vince, yes. And he knows how to talk to him. He knows how to go through all those people.
Yeah, he wouldn't have done it. Unless he to come out.
Well, he's—I don't know. Sam just seems like, you know, he's willing to help out. That's unusual.
Well, now you still got to have a little strategy when you go into this.
Yeah,
office.
Because Vince is businessman.
He's a businessman.
And his point of view is, how can I get this for the museum? And maybe get a feather in my cap at the same time. And Sam told me, he says, right now there's a $5,000 fund I think the university's put out for it. I didn't quite catch it, but anyway, the fund is supposed to go with historic Gainesville to be used. But Vince is trying to talk these people out of letting the money go for building little museums all around Alachua County, which will cost historic Gainesville. There goes all that funding. He says, now if that happens, we're going to have a little run-in between Vince and I.
So Vince wants it.
Yeah, Vince wants the money. He's a go-getter.
Oh, he wants little museums all around the country.
Yeah,
county.
Well, yeah, for the historic museums.
Yeah.
So, he says, you just, you know, be careful. But he's the man that gets the grants. He says, so you tell him what you've got, and he'll sit down and go through the books and say, okay, this person can help you, and you can check with these people, and these people.
Yeah.
I've run into him before. I just didn't know who he was.
Well, now, the thing about this thing we've drawn out is it don't have to go in any particular direction. It has all those prongs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't been able to show them all.
Mm-hmm.
But I put on several.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vince will look at it. Well, let me put it this way. What they're getting ready to do now, there's some woman who did an oral history project in the Gainesville High School. So they're getting ready to set up a display using her tapes. So what he will, I don't think he'll be able to see it like Sam would or somebody. It's going to have to be a lot more simplified. He'll probably think of it as oral history or something. And he'll probably think of it in terms of how can we put it on display, which I kind of have to be careful with. But I was thinking...
Let me tell you, you can put it on display very easily. You can do it through the Foxfire book.
Yeah.
You see, you've got talk at the beginning, talk at the end.
Right.
And both of them are condescending to the people. You see, they don't know how to talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
You can take your Foxfire book with you.
Yeah.
And just show him that.
Yeah.
Then at the end, you've got that marvelous character with that wicked grin. You see.
Mm-hmm.
Is she on the straight? Is she all right in her face?
Mm-hmm. Wicked smile it was.
Did
you say wicked? Oh.
He's cutting up potatoes, tomatoes. Don't you know?
But a wicked smile, what?
You haven't seen that?
I mean, that kind of brand.
You really ought to look at it.
Well, it'll just look like a misprint. I haven't had a chance to look at it much.
You ought to look at it. I'm fine. Just look at this enough to see what, how much farther you all are.
He's last month. Now this is the one they let him talk. And when he talks about himself, he talks about it. He used to be free and all like that. And when he talks about the times, he says the astronauts didn't get to the moon. They had some little way station up there. So, you see,
mm-hmm.
they don't know how to let him talk.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But now there he is. And read that first part there.
People look at those pictures, he laughed, and say, what is that crazy old man a-doing? You tell him I'm putting up meters for the winter, that's what. People might laugh at such stuff as this, but I tell you, I'm not about to let them rot. And when you got old, you're not a-going to lay down and die just because you're old. Feller's got to have something to do. Well, this is one of the things I do, and I'm proud of. Let them laugh. I'll be eating good this winter, and laughing back.
That's just beautiful. He baits him. It's a shame to see that they don't know how to let him talk. Now you can put that in the museum.
Mm-hmm.
You can put on some more talk if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Put on some Mr. Nealon's and Mr. Weaver's and Mr. Tuck Max.
This display they're going to have going, it's going to be like a... It'll be like this, a picture, and then just some of the tapes recorded so people can pick up a phone and listen and hear it.
Yes.
You see.
Oh,
it's
really?
The same thing, but they'll be off the printed page.
You're going to have tapes and you can listen.
They'll have the actual tape.
Oh, we can do that. Yeah.
They're just, certain tapes. There's some of them, I feel like they'd abuse them. There'd always be what I was afraid of was they'd put it on display and people would come and laugh and say, ha ha, look at these funny country people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see. So the museum really hadn't done anything but abused it.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose they could do some of that if they wanted.
Well, anyhow, you go along with him.
Yeah.
See
what he's got.
Because
he's probably the first business person I'll talk to.
Yeah.
And see, that'll make a difference.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the other end of it. I mean, all these people up there, Gene Moss and Green, all of them seem to be floundering when it comes to saying what the purpose is and how do you get a grant.
Yeah.
And it tickled me to actually see that come up.
Yeah. In anybody's grant.
It's gotten to be such a rough thing to write a grant proposal.
Yeah.
They even offer in a course?
Yeah. U.S. 602, grant writing.
What course is it?
I don't know what. I guess U.S. is law.
Yeah.
But Carl Feist said, you know, I recommend you all take it. And a lot of them said, well, we just might sit in on it. And they're going to have people that lecture there that have, well, one is a girl named Pat something, who gets grants from the National Science Fund all the time. And the way it works out is you learn how to get grants from a particular fund, and then you become a specialist writing for grants for this fund. And they're just trying to find somebody who knows how to get to the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Well, do you know the echelon? You know the way up? You ever hear them talk about who's ahead of who?
But Gene Moss went up last weekend to Washington and went all around the bureaus. He and this woman that writes all the grants. So he knows. I suppose he is. I'm afraid. Well, I don't know. They have all that officialese English, Department English. And you can't use that. You know, well, just like that letter, it says formal English. Might we not accomplish something by this luncheon meeting? Well, you don't want to have a luncheon. Well, it was funny. He got up and said, we're almost out of time, and all we've been doing is eating.
That's what I figured.
But I suppose some of them could. Especially Carl Feist and Blair Reeves, who are kind of the... Now, what they do is they're like the experts that are used to that Historic Gainesville refers to when they need expert opinion or somebody's backing up statements and whatnot. They go to these people. And Price is head of the Urban Development League, and I think he's the one that's going to be sponsoring the course. He's on campus. He's on staff.
Well,
we can get in touch.
You want Debbie to go with you?
Might be.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Two can get around a lot faster than one. She can check out some and I the other. And
I wasn't talking about that.
It always helps when you talk with someone.
Your head man over there.
Yeah, to have someone there listening, you know?
Yeah.
It's like when I do the conversation. Can't quite hear it as well as somebody else can.
Yeah, you can't tell where you've been.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the little tapes are for, that kind of Don has.
Yeah.
I don't imagine he uses too much trouble. Yeah, that little Sony, he just put it on his belt.
He still uses it.
Does he?
Mm-hmm.
And it just helps him, I suppose, recall.
Mm-hmm. When he's talking business or anything out to somebody, then he can just a little thing he puts on his belt. Yes, I think that might work because Debbie can, and then she'll know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
See what's going on.
We better consult with her.
The problem is, fend for yourself. You don't want to do this.
I think I could probably help just by listening. I think Rick probably talks better about the grant than I do.
Remember what's said.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And you said that before, Rick, that it helps to have another for you.
Well, so I've got something for the Mockingbird now. I don't think I can go through another summer with a cardinal sitting up there singing and trying to go like a mockingbird. I've done that two summers.
Well, I like to hear a little Whitman.
The thing that sustains me out here, you see, is the countryside. It's a great lift, I guess. And, you see, I can't say to myself, well, it won't be here tomorrow. It'll be crowded out. I just have to take what I can get. It's just about all gone. It's not mortality that's done it. There's so much money in the world. just about talked out. She just doesn't have any more energy. But Frankie's got energy. And let me tell you what happened. Now, this is what picks me up. And it enables me just to keep on. And never get tired as long as I have just a little touch of that. Frankie and his family were over here one summer, one Sunday, back when we were in pretty full swing, and Cookie was here. And Cookie and his, the little Cookies always help. They actually just sort of put us over for a long time. They didn't realize how much they did. But some of the people in my classes were out here. And there were several of the girls that I knew pretty well. And they had on those than you, I couldn't get Frankie's attention. I said, Frankie, go over there and entertain my guests. I didn't see him anymore. I couldn't get him away. He was standing right out there. I remember very well what it was. He entertained them. I'm telling you, you could hear him play down at Packer's place. Now, we don't have anyone with a manuscript.
Rick and Debbie just dropped by.
If they just dropped by, I think you just have to fight them off.
Can you come over for a picnic?
Now, you see, Thursday, Margaret goes to Ocala. She's been doing this. She goes to one of her neighbors. Margaret says, well, this, well, I don't know whether you've got room for us all or not. I said, Margaret, we don't have room for you all at one time, but we can sure stagger you. You can come one time with your husband, and Frankie can come one time, and we'll just have a time. Margaret that talks about how big she is and how poor she is. That's her two sole remaining subjects. She has gone completely to the seed. And she's full of suspicion. She thinks you're taking advantage of her. She thinks I'm taping her. And I don't know what I'd do with that sort of tape. No great market for that.
Well, it's Thursday.
Yeah, we got the other. You going today?
Today or tomorrow?
We don't put it off.
I'll go today.
You got it. You got your bookwork pretty well cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll go in here and get to mail these things off.
Yeah.
And Debbie can take it if she wants to. I don't know what she. I'm not in too close touch with her this week.
Only thing I do have is. I redid the, Debbie and I both kind of did it, the first two pages of that grant, and it just needs to be typed so it can be.
You use that just like it is.
All right.
And then keep your notes and say what you want to say, but don't tamper with it.
All right.
It's too damn much tampering going on. We'll never get anything done. That's just something to work from.
Okay.
You've got that damn thing.